I'm Nicolette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in.
Today, Sarah and I are discussing the 1999 Disney Channel original movie, Don't Look Under the Bed. Frances is a very intelligent girl and is starting high school a year early. Strange things start happening in her town of Middleburg. Dogs appearing on people's roofs, alarm clocks going off at early hours, eggs all over the teacher's car, and gelatin in the school swimming pool, and the letter B spray painted all over town. The B's also appear on school lockers, except for Frances's. These pranks seem to point to Frances, who is not understanding what is happening or why. An older boy named Larry Houdini offers to help Frances, telling her that he is an imaginary friend, which is proven true as children are the only people able to see him. Larry tells Frances that she is being framed by the boogeyman. Frances has a difficult time believing this, as it's not proven by science. The boogeyman causes a blackout, foreshadowed by bees he has spray-painted, and Frances' home is unaffected. All the Christmas lights remain on. Frances loses her friendship with her best friend Joanne, makes a fool out of herself trying to convince others that Larry exists, and causes her family to question her sanity. At her wit's end, Frances checks out the Boogie Book from the school library and decides to build a tetrafuse detailed in the book, which will age the boogeyman into a harmless old geezer. Frances later learns that Larry was her brother Darwin's imaginary friend, who still cares about him. But Frances convinced Darwin to grow up and stop believing in him. Larry also cooks up boogie goo to use as bait and finds it delicious, which scares Frances. She looks at the boogeyman origins in the book and learns that boogeymen are created when the creator of an imaginary friend stops believing too soon. Having accidentally stepped in boogie goo, Darwin attracts the boogeyman and gets kidnapped while sitting in Frances's room. Frances and Larry follow him into Boogie World Dimension, which exists under Frances's bed. During their skirmish, Larry ends up as a boogeyman due to Darwin's lack in belief in him. Frances convinces Darwin to believe in Larry again, reverting him to normal. After using the tetrafuse on the boogeyman, Frances realizes it's her old imaginary friend Zoe. Frances stopped believing in her when Darwin fell ill, deciding it was time to grow up. Frances proves she still cares for Zoe, holding her hand and causing her to revert to normal. Frances and Darwin return to the real world, where their parents reveal that the same antics that occurred in Middleburg are occurring in another city. Larry reveals that it's time for him to go help take care of the other boogeyman. Zoe offers to assist. Frances is distraught, as it was not easy for her to believe in them again. Before Larry and Zoe leave, Larry tells Frances it's all right, showing her that childhood was great, but so is adulthood, if she keeps a sense of wonder. That night, Darwin is scared and sent to Frances by Larry. She allows him to sleep with her, and Larry and Zoe watch on with smiles. After this brief break, we will be talking with Sarah about our thoughts on the movie.
under the bed. What were your thoughts?
Well, it is still scary, like it was when I first watched it when I was 9. Because what? Yeah, it came out 99. Yeah, I was terrified of this movie. I mean, not now. It was one of those ones where you watch and you're like the original It. You watch it and you're just like, oh wow, the CGI kind of sucks. Why was I so afraid of it? But I remember why. Like, just I would. Like, I hated October coming on because I know on Disney they'd always play this movie and it scared the shit out of me. The boogie, like, under the bed. That's, like, one of the biggest things. Clowns and boogeymen. Ooh.
See, I don't have that problem anymore because that's Buddy's hiding spot. So I know that if some shit actually went down, he would be out of there. And so I know, okay, get your ass out.
Well, the funny thing is, it's fine now because I have too much shit under my bed that no one could actually, like, survive under there. So if there's somebody under my bed, they're probably dead by now because it's just packed full of extra storage shit just under my bed. But yeah, no, I remember I used to be petrified of this movie when I was younger.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever seen it because I was not a scary movie person.
Yeah, that was the same too. I was never I watched it once, but like that also goes to Phantom of the Megaplex. It's like it took me so long to like actually fully watch that movie because I was so afraid of it. Because I'm not a scary movie person. Give me a comedy. Give me a rom com. Like, we're good. Scary movies, no bueno.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So, same thing. I was never good for anything that was thriller, mystery, anything like that, because even as a kid, I had such high anxiety that I just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, I just, my flight or fight response would just activate and I would just freak out.
Yeah. And it was a scary movie for a 9-year-old. Like, there's something living under this girl's bed. And, like, this is a scary movie to be playing on Disney.
I think it was definitely intended for older audiences.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It was one of those. It wasn't one of the younger DCOMs. Yeah. This was for, like, this was definitely for, like, 12 young plus. Adults. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but the main character's in high school. So,
yeah, well, she started high school early, though, too.
So she should be technically an 8th grader. So.
Yeah. Still, she'd be terrorized by the boogeyman. That's like every little kid's worst fear is being terrorized by a boogeyman. Oh, being framed.
I actually thought the prosthetics were amazing.
They did
in comparison, like, they were 90s, pretty good.
That was pretty killer. That
for Disney Channel prosthetics, those are pretty good.
Right. Oh, definitely. Well, for Disney Channel prosthetics in the 90s, it was really good.
Well, like, even in comparison, I mean, like, Halloween Town came out around that time, too. The first one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And those are kind of weird. But I think, too, Halloween Town was meant to be more, like, they're supposed to look more funny looking than actually like scary, but they did a good job on the boogeyman. What the hell?
I definitely felt that. So one thing that popped out to me was Larry, the actor who played Larry. Did you recognize him?
No.
So do you remember the show Even Stevens?
Yes.
He was oh god, what's the sister's name? Ren Stevens, her arch nemesis,
not
on the show, is Larry.
Oh my god, it is. Okay, I was like, I'm like, I know him from some. Okay, yeah.
I was that's all I could see. Like, I'm just Ren's like, oh enemy. Lord.
Nice. All right, that's awesome.
So yeah, there was that. But so we had our main character, or one of our main characters, Larry. And there was also, was it Francine or Francis? I forget.
Francis, but it was a girl. So it was like Fran.
I have an Aunt Frances, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Definitely an my older name, though, so that was quite interesting. But her brother's name was...
Yeah, my dad has an Aunt Frances.
But the little brother's name was Darwin, which I thought was cute.
I know, that was so cute.
Like Charles Darwin?
Yeah. Survival of the fittest?
Yeah, so what did you think of Frances?
I thought she was pretty cool. I did like at the beginning when all the bees started to appear and stuff and like everybody was blaming her. I did like feel bad for her because, you know, you're getting ostracized by, first you're in a new school, you're already younger than everybody else, and now you're like getting framed for something that you literally aren't doing. Like if she was doing it, that would be a different story, but like she's being tormented by the boogeyman. Like I don't, that's so bad. Like felt so bad for her. But I liked her. She was pretty cool.
So I also really liked the fact that, like, and it was a whole, that the school actually went in and wasn't just like, oh no, she's a bad kid. It's like, oh, what's going on at home? And like, right. Actually, like, was this some type of psychotic break? Is this her acting out because of things that had happened? Because she is a year younger than her peers right now. She is the middle child in this family where a child was sick. Like there's a lot of functionality in that. And I really appreciated that because it's not something that you normally see.
Yeah. Well, did they say, I know Larry was older, but did they say like, was he a senior? Was he a...
Larry's the imaginary friend of Darwin.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But only kids can see him.
Mm-hmm. Which the library scene made me giggle. I thought that was cute.
What did we think about Boogie World?
That reminded me so much because it's all the stuff that is under her bed.
Uh-huh.
Like if you actually look at it. So it was kind of like a kickback to me for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah. When they're like, that's what I
thought
too. This
is what, like, this is like, oh, that's that toy I lost. Okay. It's out in the yard. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed that aspect.
Yeah, that was cool because, you know, I always loved Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Again, another movie that kind of freaked me out when I was little, but, you know, it was cool. But yeah, no, I like that too. And who wouldn't want Jell-O in the swimming pool? I'm just saying, that would be pretty sick. It's like having a
sticking out and her legs are kicking. That was hilarious. That was so bad.
Right? But that would be like having a swimming pool full of pudding. Like, who wouldn't love a swimming pool full of pudding? I would eat my body weight in pudding. That would be cool. Like, you know.
That would be messy,
though.
It'd be
fun for a while.
I would choose pudding over Jell-O any day, though. Because Lord knows I hate Jell-O.
Oh, yeah. Me too. The texture, everything. Pudding is way better. But that's another story for another day.
Okay.
And then Darwin fell ill too. I felt really bad.
Yeah, he started becoming a boogeyman. And I love that, like, slowly but surely, that's how we learn how boogeymen are created.
Yeah, because no one really knows, they're just there. But yeah, boogie, he steps in boogie goo. I love these words. Boogie World, Boogie Goo, like, you know, Disney, somebody at Disney is like, I'm gonna write this.
The end song that plays over the credits is Boogie Shoes. I was just like,
see?
What?
They were having fun with Boogie, I'm telling you.
But I really did like that entire narrative because you have Francine, who had to grow up a little early because of her brother's sickness.
Yeah.
So then she wants her younger brother to be as logical and like adult as she is, even though he is a child. So you have his imaginary friend helping her, and for her to understand, well, yeah, like you did grow up too early, and like that sucks. Like, you can't do that to your little brother. Like, he's still little. He still needs to believe in imaginary friends and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Polar Express, the book, not the movie. Where only kids who believe or people who believe can hear the bell. And
Yeah.
All that. Never grow up.
So yeah, I actually, like, from a writing standpoint, mm-hmm. I think that was a very strong narrative and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. And like you said too, like how it kind of went back where the school, as opposed to like everybody just blaming her, it kind of goes back to how schools are treating things now when kids act out, where like they go and find like what's going on at home is, you know, what's the issue, as opposed to just like back in the day, it would be like, oh, this kid's a bad kid. They like, now they're going to they try and find out more about what the kid's dealing with, as opposed to just like writing them off and being like, oh, they're just being bad.
I do have a caveat, is I don't believe that schools are doing, like they're doing more than they did, but oh, yeah, I don't definitely. Think that like currently they're doing really what they should be doing, because you still have those times where like the correctional officers in the school are throwing kids to the ground and things like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When it, so there's that caveat too, but.
Well, yeah, but for the times it was like more progressive and like.
This movie like, was really progressive because even when so Francis's imaginary friend Zoe became her boogeyman.
Uh-huh.
And when Francis is like, oh no, it's Zoe. And Zoe keeps correcting Larry, and Larry's like, oh, you're her boogeyman. She goes, I'm her boogey person. Oh my god.
Yes. Like, staff for Disney.
1999.
But then that's like how we've been talking about this for a lot of the Disney movies. It's like a lot of them that we're watching now, we didn't know when we were younger, but they were just so progressive in how they told their stories, like Boogeyman, and you know, even movies that we haven't even talked about yet. Like I keep bringing up Smart House because it's one of my all-time faves, but like they're just like so ahead of their time when these movies came out.
I for think most for of them. Disney Channel original movies, yes, their shows tended to be much more conservative.
Oh yeah, no, I'm talking about like their movies and stuff. Yeah. Well, that was always the joke at like between me and my sister and my cousin, is like Disney Channel shows never kiss, but like you watch Nickelodeon and they were always like kissing or do like, obviously they went any further than like a peck on the cheek, but still like Disney, you would never see it. You were like 5 feet for Jesus.
It's yeah,
but
it's
Nickelodeon,
the,
it's like
it's the rules of Disney. They have a code of conduct, and like the whole thing with Bella Thorne, she took a picture in a bikini that her mom bought her and she nearly got fired.
Like one of my favorite comedians, Gabriel Iglesias, he on one of his stand-up specials, he was saying how he had to be very careful, even in his stand-up. I mean, he was still how he is, but he's never in any of his stand-ups like ever raunchy or anything like that or disrespectful. But he was even saying how like even in his personal life, he has to be careful because he signed a contract to do something that Disney owned, like worked on a show that Disney owned. And he's like, I have to be careful because I'm owned by Disney now. If I'm out of Disney, I'm leaving the, like, you know, have
and
such
that's,
high standards.
And that's why you have things that happen like Miley Cyrus, and you hear these things coming out, and like Lindsay Lohan, and once those contracts are over and they are free,
they go
wild, and they freaking deserve it. Because they've had to, like, be something
they grew
that they're
up,
not like, for so long.
Yeah. It's so, like, you get, like, even, was it, Disney was the Mickey Mouse Club, right? With, like, Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears. I mean, look at them. Even, like, Justin Timberlake is a good guy, and I love him. But, like, he's had his rough
patches,
too.
Have you watched the Britney documentary on Hulu?
No.
It made me lose a lot of respect for him.
Oh, yeah. Like, Justin has always been, like, a really good guy, but I'm sure he struggled with some stuff. We all know Britney struggled with some stuff. Like, that girl had some issues. But even, like, her sister was never on Disney, could never be on Disney because she had a
she got kicked off her Nickelodeon show because of that. So
I know.
I mean, they have their own code of standards.
They have standards. They do. But it's like, it's just so different to see the contrast, especially like in the late 90s, early 2000s, where like Disney was so like a certain way for their show. For their shows. Oh, yeah. Are.
I mean, look at the girl from a little bit, but look at the girl from Girl Meets World. She came out as bisexual and they canceled her show.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. I read like, that story. That show sucked anyway. That wasn't a good show.
But they should stop like, it. But then I mean, their counter argument was, oh well, we let Raven back and she's a lesbian, and I'm just like,
right. That's not the same.
Yeah. So.
But.
Okay, back on to this movie. After that tangent.
Yeah, because right.
I feel like we always end up going on a tangent.
Yeah, we always go out way into left field and it's like, whoa, come back. But that's because we're just so opinionated.
Yeah. What did you think of the parents?
I don't remember their, I mean, I thought they were okay, but like, I don't really remember them. I didn't really pay attention to them as much as I probably should have when I watched the movie.
So her, I recognized from somewhere, but I couldn't place it, but he was on Glee and he played Sandy on that. And I was just like,
really?
Wait a second. Like, I couldn't unsee it.
Yeah. So that's how you see. Yeah.
So there's that, but there's a scene where she's about to go under the bed and go into Boogie World mm-hmm. to get her brother. And the dad's like, well, we need to have this conversation. And so she tells him and he's just like, I think this is a conversation you need to have with your mother. I'm just like.
Yep. Yep. It's funny. Yeah. I mean, what I didn't really pay attention to parents as much because I was more worried about the boogeyman, but it happens.
But yeah, so.
It was a good, I mean, watching it now that I'm older and I know.
I don't think I could have watched this as a kid. I would have lost my
mind. Oh, I purposed not watch this as a kid.
Yes. Because,
yeah, no. Even the preview scared the crap out of me. I'm good. But now watching it as an adult, it's not as scary.
Yeah.
It's not scary anymore. But, you know, and there's too many scary things going on as it is. Boogeymen don't scare me anymore. But
so, what is your rating of this?
I'll give it a 6.5.
A 6.5?
Yep. Okay.
I'm giving it an 8. I thought that the story mechanics were really strong and that mm-hmm. it started with a really strong script. So it was able to become a really strong movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is going to take my number 2 spot.
Your number 2? Really?
Yeah. As of right now in the rankings, the only thing that I think beats it is The Color of Friendship.
Well, Horse Sense is still holding strong for me, but after after our next show, it might have to change.
Shade and Joey Efron Lawrence for
Zac Efron is always bae. He's always bae. Even with his little tooth gap before the second movie when he became popular and got rid of it. Girl, I watched him in Summerland. Is that the name of the show? Yeah. It was like some quasi shows on like right before High School Musical. It was with like Jesse McCartney when he was younger too. You know how long I've loved Zac Efron.
All right, so the next episode is High School Musical. So I think that was a really fun discussion about
don't look under the bed. Please feel free to share your thoughts and opinions with us. We have an email, which is watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. Or you can join us on our Facebook group, which is linked in our description. Please give us a rating, give us a review. It really helps us out. And like I said at the end of our recording, the next episode is High School Musical, which we are really looking forward to. So with that, we hope you have a great week and we will see you next time.